from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Leroy Dragon!
This is Dirt and Spray.
Dirt got fired. He's looking for a job. Don't hire him. He's just to stay away from the guy. It's sports radio, 1080 The Fan, not with Dirt. Sorry, dude.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
What is a Sprague? We should just call him Craig. Yeah, that's your new name, Craig.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
I'm here to support a friend and a word colleague.
You don't know what love is.
Love you very much, Francie.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Yay, loaded. Hour number two, during break here. Good morning. Happy Friday, you coffee animals. You caffeinated roasters here.
Period.
On a beautiful Friday. I didn't share the news on the Ken Barkley front. I blanked on that.
You did. You teased Ken Barkley news.
We hit on our over that Ken Barkley gave us of 16.5 first half points. Thank
blew
you, Ken.
Through it, man. They were firing points
31,
all over the
right,
place.
In the first half?
I believe so. I believe the over of the game hit in the first half.
Yeah, it was 31 in the first half.
But then there was a whole kerfuffle of other bets that people had that had to then get refunded or cashed back or whatever.
Yeah, if it was full game, I think the game has to play like 55 minutes or something for it to. So it's no action and stuff gets
I want to get to college football. I had a couple lingering noodle thoughts from the game yesterday. ESPN's running all these ESPN bet commercials and promos. They're hiring all these new people for their website, and they're going to be doing a lot of gambling coverage as well. And I understand this is not for everybody. Some of you roll your eyes at this stuff. Totally get it. All due respect. If you're trotting out people to use your ESPN gambling site, which we can't do here locally,
no.
Which I think kind of sucks. I'd like options.
ESPN bet.
Like, let me know on the game cast the over of the first half hitting. Shouldn't a pop-up ESPN bet logo over first half 16.5 check mark? I think little nuggets like they should be incorporating that into their broadcast if you're pubbing your betting thing so much. I personally would like that.
I think what you're going to see eventually is an ESPN bet channel.
See, I don't need that. That's too much. I don't care enough about gambling for that.
The whole broadcast is about gambling.
I don't want to do that.
And about props. And this receiver's at 64 is over 68.
And so the pop-up graphics and all of that stuff, and you'll have like Fortenbaugh and Aaron Donlin.
I don't need it. Just give me the little pop-up somebody hits their receiving over prop 56.5 on a 20-yard catch. It just pops up real quick. Johnson over 56.5 receiving yards. Check. And then pops back down. It's not in your way. It's not, being shoved down your throat at all times.
I feel like
in
you,
and out.
You could even add it to the, because we always said the ticker's always on. And you always have the game score scrolling. Like, if you just had in that ticker part, here are the bets that have cashed so far.
I'd be cool with that.
I'd be cool with that as well. I'm not opposed to that idea.
So that was just a leftover. So Ken Barkley's joining us every Thursday for all we know here on out.
Yeah, through football season.
Yesterday might be his most iconic appearance on our show.
That was
him
awesome.
With multiple loudspeakers just trashing the situation.
Swag. We had three
Everybody's
speakers.
Looking around. There was like 20 people yeah. standing around us like, what is happening?
People
right
were
now?
Checking into that event, and the speakers were right there at check-in, loud. And he's like, oh, what is it, a bunch of rich people just getting us schmoozing, and like they're checking in, and we're just sitting there with headsets on like, oh my God.
With fake moss behind us.
It was iconic.
Yeah.
I'm creating, I'm deleting the Stephen A. Smith rotation okay. open. Let's get that out. People say it makes me
all right,
the
I'll
boycott
take that out
of the
rotator.
People have spoken.
Hey, I respect the people.
You respect the
people? People make the show what it is. Yeah. It makes you feel cringy. Okay, I'll admit it. I think it's funny, but okay. I'm making a Ken Barkley open this weekend.
Let's go.
And I think I'm going to do a bang-up job for it. So we'll play it every Thursday at 8 a.m.
Okay, for his segment.
A specialty open nice. Just for Ken Barkley.
Just for Ken. Now, we got to make sure we get him on the phone early so we can hear on hold his Ken Barkley open.
I think that's a very valid
just
point.
Let him know, hey, all sorry, right. you're going to have to wait a couple minutes on hold, but the boys got something
yeah,
for you.
When it's
you.
Ready to debut, yeah. I'll yeah. call him during the commercial break before the update and say, hey, we...
Hold on a couple minutes here, yeah. but we got something for you.
I'm hoping to debut it next Thursday.
Let's all go. Right.
I'm working my ass off this weekend to get it done.
I can't wait.
The Oregon Ducks are officially in the Big Ten today, even though they were at Media Day for the Big Ten.
Yes, it's official. The legal paperwork
and
got
Oregon
notarized
State.
Today.
And Washington State, we got all the monies now.
You do? You got all the money? What are you going to do with it? What are you going to buy?
We're buying our way into a conference.
Let's go. You should. Call the Big 12 today. Hey, look at all this cash we got.
Who
let
do they
us
need
in.
To grease at ESPN?
There's an anonymous Twitter account saying we're yeah, getting into the Big 12, baby.
That's the one the quite one a highlighted fervor the... to the point the boss had me make a promo about
yes.
it.
Yes.
Wait, what?
We have a promo on this
oh,
now.
Yeah.
Beavers and Cougars to the Big 12 promo. Come on down to the main stage.
Wait a minute. Are you being for real?
I am being for real. I heard it earlier in the show. During
you did?
A break. I'm in yeah. the promo.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Suck on that one,
I got
Beaver.
I got a dirt cut. I got a suit cut.
It's off of one account that is anonymous and has largely deleted like 70% of the info.
I'm just
they've
a production.
Don't poop on my dreams, Bubba Brandon.
Just
don't
production.
Poop on my dreams.
I'm just saying. I didn't know we had a promo.
Be the wind in my sail, hey, not the rain in my face.
You know what? Piss off. Why don't you put your laptop up with your duck logo?
Somebody criticized you for that yesterday. I chuckled at that.
No, they just said
you don't have enough
sticker on.
You don't have any beaver stickers on your laptop. Dirt's got stickers on his computer.
You are killing me in the sticker game.
Look. Jokingly, yes, this is a much bigger deal for you two. I would just say, though, it would be such a breath of fresh air because it's literally the only ugly hangover that I still have about everything that's happened in the last year.
Only thing keeping, I think, the
full-on excitement.
Yes, agree 100%.
Like, I can't—for Oregon to play Ohio State and Michigan and Penn State, it was like, yeah. I can't wait for some of these games, dude. I am so jacked yes. to see how this shakes out. The conference of champions dying is a little depressing, but I think as time goes on, you're going to see some of these new games and be like, whatever, dude. We'll grow to appreciate the new conference.
Yeah, we get
the
used
only
to.
Thing that's missing is having
two
schools—
casualties,
yes,
collateral damage
the collateral
of
damage
State
that
Washington
was
State.
Completely unnecessary
yep.
and completely ridiculous.
Agreed.
And they deserve to be in Power 5 conferences, and
amen.
We all know it.
Amen.
And so just put them in the damn Big 12.
Yep.
Let them play big boy football.
Yep.
And let's move on to making fun of each other and hating each other. And I won't feel bad about making fun of your program anymore. I feel bad sometimes when I make fun that. Of your program. It's punching down. I don't like punching down. And I want to punch slightly down, not completely down. Go to the Big 12,
Dirt,
please.
Dirt usually punches up.
Yes, I do.
Well, there's a lot of... There is
it was
a lot
well played.
Of
it was really well played.
Kyler Murray.
The sound effects were not the sound effects were not necessary.
It was I'm gonna get you. I'm gonna punch you.
Sound like a lollipop Gil from The Wizard of Oz.
Pick
man.
You up by the back of your shirt.
Let me go.
Mini me now.
No, I look. All jokes aside, I hope an anonymous Twitter account that again. Let's be honest here, does have a great pin tweet, also has deleted like half of its account's tweets
yeah.
when it's been way wrong. It's clearly a burner account of somebody of note. I don't know who they are or
somebody
who they
that
for.
Has access yes. to information, yes.
But they've also been wrong with a lot of information. I want to be fair here.
That's true. They have jumped the gun occasionally.
I think there is a world where it happens and the legalities of this stuff does matter. Today, officially, we can joke and laugh that Oregon's in the Big Ten officially. They were at Big Ten Media Day. Like, we all know it's dumb.
Yeah, right. Why didn't we just do this 4 months ago?
Agree.
Yeah.
But Oregon and Washington, Oregon State, Washington State having kind of the treasure chest now of the money, the all the Pac-12 stuff now going forward. They're going to get the money from the NCAA tournament, all of that stuff now. that changes things potentially for them. It doesn't right now appear that they're going to get in one of those conferences. I really hope it's the Big 12, by the way.
It'll be a slow play either way. Like, it'll be a scheduling alliance, and it'll be, okay, let's go through this step, and then by 2026, yes, then you have full membership.
And then I would be jacked out of my mind because, yes, I get up for Oregon State, Colorado, Oregon State, Utah, dude, Oregon State, Arizona school.
Oklahoma just, State coming to town, Texas, yes, Tech. I'm all for it.
Look, they are not as financially backed as other programs. I get it. Corvallis is a small town. I understand it. They don't have the most eyeballs because, well, most of their games don't
affect them.
But they are a power for Washington State, Oregon State have been just in this as any other of those bad crap programs, yeah, that are in the ACC, the SEC,
SMU,
the Big Ten,
Central Florida, yeah, Vanderbilt.
Like, miss
Purdue,
me with some of these programs that get to be in these conferences.
Indiana, what are we doing?
So it's an anonymous account, but I am legitimately just trying to stay optimistic. I'm not diving into it day to day and reacting to every tweet. But I am holding out hope that today, now that everything's officially theirs in the Pac-2, they can somehow maneuver their way financially, even if they take a smaller slice of the pie,
yeah,
to be a Big 12 member down the road.
I think the biggest argument you got going for you right now is that your market, Big 12 Media Days, was very aggressive in talking about finding new TV windows,
yep,
and how that was one of his biggest priorities. Of he understands that if my games are on Saturday at 12:30 and I'm going against Ohio State, Penn State, and I'm going against Alabama and Georgia, I'm going to have a hard time cutting through, yeah, with Oklahoma State versus Arizona. It's going to be a good game. Some people will watch. It's just you're going to get lost in the shuffle a little bit. And so his whole argument has been finding new windows, finding new ways to get into households. And so I think they would love to bring in a new broadcast partner. You know, an Apple TV has been linked to college football for a very long time, and we know what they've done in the MLS. I think that's your argument. Hey, you want more late inventory? It would suck because you might get a few more night games, but I think Oregon State and Washington State fans would say bring on 7:30 kicks. If it means we're in the Big 12, I'll take it. Here's your new TV window. Yeah. It gives you more opportunities
Oregon
to do
State
it.
State fans are quite used to 7:30 kicks.
Yes,
so.
That was 100%. Your life in the Pac-12, man. I genuinely hope from the bottom of my heart that this is you're not getting catfished because I stringing people along and having some sort of intel or reporting of AI sources, this is going to happen, and making people believe that this actually could take place only for it to be nonsense and for it to not happen would be just devastating. I mean, you've gone through enough in the last year and a half.
Yeah.
It just is another kick in the nuts.
I agree. When you were out on Tuesday, we had a mail sack question, and I appreciate honesty. Oregon State fan basically saying, like, normally, this time, yeah, of year, you guys are getting me jacked. Like, and he's like, I'm a season ticket holder since I can't, like, 08, yeah, or something.
Just
and
don't feel it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't blame you at all.
There's just, you know, they're going to get Oregon at home. They'll get Purdue.
It's not the same.
UNLV and San Jose State. There's just no juice to it. Nope. And you're just hoping that your team wins so they stay good enough to be ranked and say, hey, look at this team. Like, they're still ranked and they're, look at them moving on from their old coach and losing most of the roster.
Yeah.
It's tough to generate juice, and that's not a university's fault. That's just like the circumstance. But I think from everything you're saying is kind of like why I hold out the hope of, you know, there's a lot of Oregon State fans too. There's probably more Oregon fans for sure. They've had more success. They've had a run, but there are a lot of Oregon State fans, and they're just like, some of them have lost some of the juice, and I can't blame them for that, but it's just like, just keep holding on as long as you possibly can.
And I hope this news is true, man. It'd be great. What a great sign. You know, a week before the college football season begins, you get rumblings from actual reporters saying, hey, there's serious intel. ESPN, Apple TV, whoever's making the play, they want the Big 12 to add the Pac-2. That would be the wind in your sails that you would need.
I'm a little torn because I think doing segments on anonymous Twitter accounts, again, it's a little dicey,
yeah,
at best. And so I'm a little hesitant, but yeah, it just goes to the optimism that I think people holding out for and hoping for the best that Oregon State, Washington State somehow find their way into a conference like the Big 12.
It would be. I got a segment I want to do on the Big 12 today, and it'll play into
really?
Why that news would be awesome for Oregon State and Washington State.
Okay.
Dirty tease right there. You like
what
that?
Time we're going to do that?
You like that? Well, we'll do Reardon. We'll see where we go from Reardon at 7:30. I don't know if there's going to be a follow-up, a breakdown. So it's either 7:45 or 8, one of the two.
You want to do it next?
Sure, you want to do it. Do you not have a 7:15 segment?
No, I mean, I could do anything at 7:15.
We can talk Big 12 next.
We're talking about Oregon State Washington. Yeah. I'm curious where you're going with
this. There's a great number on why this would be awesome for Oregon State Washington.
Okay, I'll let you lead the way here a little bit.
Okay.
We're going to go into Shane Reardon coming up at 7:30. We'll talk some Chicago stuff with him. Bears played last night. He's coming up for the Daily Ticker. We'll Sprague the Line at 8:30, so get those Sprague the Line sponsors in at the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. They teach you right before, during, and after the sale. Big 12 talk next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
All right, basketball coverage on The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use your savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. We're talking football, college football, that is. Shane Reardon will join us coming up, 670 The Score in Chi-Town. We're talking just, you know, a little dangerous, but a Twitter account with a lot of followers, but no real name, and deletes half the account's tweets and then comes back and feels some like somebody that's somewhat plugged in and so shares news. And it's just the optimistic viewpoint of Oregon State, Washington State finding eventually their way into the Big 12 and how Yormark's trying to get all these consensus votes and revenue splits and all that stuff, TV windows that those two schools could fill. And you said you had a Big 12 segment related to this.
Well, I did want to read one text too quickly because one of our Beaver Bros said, on the note of not being jacked about football season and it's around the corner and not having the same feeling that you normally have, he said the majority of Beaver fans don't feel that way. A lot of them understand the situation but only care about the product on the field. If they go 10-2 against an easy schedule, no one will care about that feeling and they're going to be jacked out of their mind about it. And I do think there's validity to that. If you have a very good season and maybe you're sniffing an at-large bid or you're in the mix or you're ranked and things pop for you this year, I do think some of that pessimism and negativity will dissipate slightly, but it's only for so long because this conference stuff is so important. But I also think if you're going to play the positive scenario road, you also got to look at the other side of that and say, okay, you're right. If they go 10-2, a lot of that will dissipate. What if they go 7-5? against a bad schedule, and then you're not in a conference and you didn't have a good season,
yeah,
that's where things get dangerous, because you don't want people to be apathetic about the program.
I don't need to defend the other side. I think there's a lot of truth with that text, and I would agree with most of it. I think it's not necessarily pessimism. It's still supporting the program, but
pessimism is not the right word.
Well, but it's just you lost a coach, you lost a coaching staff, you lost a ton of players,
now
you're playing UNLV, and it's just an element like that's a bummer, man. Like all these other schools and programs got Arizona State has been a joke most of my entire life, and they just get to, you know, walk their way into that conference after they were one of the biggest supporters of the administration of the Pac-12 and helped railroad us into that mountain.
It's because they're a sleeping giant, buddy. They're a sleeping giant.
Yeah, because they're in the Phoenix market and all that crap. So it's
a lot of herpes down there.
It's not that people are abandoning Chip. I don't want it to come off that way. I think it's just there are Beaver fans. I think there's going to be a ton of passion for Oregon State fans, a lot of FU energy. You mentioned that Oregon game. There's going to be a lot of hostility there. But I think there is a segment of people that is just like, it's just a bummer that this is kind of what the situation is.
So the Big 12 thing comes from our great friend Bill Connolly, who is just an unbelievable college football writer, and I religiously read him. Because
he had Ndamukong Suh as the best player since 2000.
I'm not opposed to it. Baker Mayfield, I'm fight you over that one. That's dumb, and he's had to defend that. But Ndamukong Suh should have won the Heisman, and it's one of the most egregious mistakes that we have seen in that sport in a long. He nearly single-handedly carried the Nebraska Cornhuskers to a Big 12 championship.
Almost Cam Newton did from defensive tackle.
Without 1 second somehow being left on the clock against Texas, they would have won that Big 12 championship. And that team was not very good. And
no.
He carried them himself. He did a piece, and I love the headline, basically saying the Big Ten and the SEC schools are going to be rich and miserable.
Yeah, I saw this.
And the Big 12 is going to have all of the fun.
He's so right.
And he dives into, like, basically the conference of close games and chaos is going to be closer and more chaotic than ever this year. And this was the number that blew my mind. And it's, speaking of Oregon State, Washington State, it's why this would be a perfect fit for them. Because you're going to a conference where you're not necessarily battling a program where financially you can't keep up, or just Jimmy's and Joe's wise will always blow you out of the water talent wise. And I'm not saying Oregon State is on talent wise on footing with Utah or some of these others, but they've beaten Utah by a sizable margin.
Kind of own Utah
beat
lately.
Beat them last year in Corvallis. They dominated them with a backup quarterback. This number blew me away. In the last six seasons alone, 13 of the 16 teams in the current Big 12 have finished ranked at least once. So 13 of the 16, only three teams haven't finished ranked. And almost nobody in that conference of their 16 teams has done it more than twice. So basically, you know, that's in the last 6 years. So you've had like TCU, national title, terrible last year.
You're not good.
Oklahoma State, great seasons, bad seasons.
Yep.
Baylor, a couple of years ago, winning the conference, terrible firing their coach last year.
Right.
You have had these.
BYU goes
BYU
up and down.
Up and down. Central Florida's been up and down. Cincinnati was in a playoff, and now they suck again.
Like, Arizona, I mean, my God.
So you've had so many programs that have had these great years, these swoons, like, hey, look at that, they're good. And then they fall back off. And it will be a conference of utter chaos and excitement, and their parity in that conference is something that you will not see in any of the other power conferences.
So if we were to assume the T. Boone Pickens money is still flowing through the University of Oklahoma State, and I'm assuming that's probably right.
I would assume.
Who is the second richest school? Is it UCF?
Does UCF have money?
I think UCF is a sneaky rich school in Orlando, but
okay.
I'm not saying that with a lot of comp. Is it Arizona?
Does Arizona have? I thought Arizona was like $200 million in
the
hole.
Right. They're broke. They're actually for sale. I didn't think you could buy Arizona Athletic Department.
They're broke, man. That's why Jed Fish left. I didn't have money to pay him.
But I think that's an important part here is if you're only dealing with one decently sized boosted program, not that these other schools aren't raising money.
Yeah.
It lends itself, and also, like, I think Utah has a chance to be the dominant force in that conference with Whittingham, and then we'll see what Scally does when he takes over eventually.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe Brendan and Arizona keep riding this wave for another 2 years with Noah Fifita, and they find the right guy next, and, like, it kind of starts humming. Arizona State have no faith in, no offense to Kenny Dillingham. Maybe he'll do it. He's really young.
Yeah.
But, like, I think the point... I think the point he's making is valid of... Kansas State.
Yes, on a hot streak right now.
They ain't rich.
But they ain't rich. Iowa State's a good program. They ain't rich.
If they're up and they're down too, because
yes,
Campbell's going to have good years full of experience and then bad years where he's developing and recruiting. Kansas football. eventually probably going to lose Lance Leipold.
You would imagine.
So, like,
Colorado's got prime right now. Who knows how long that works? Will they get to a bowl game?
I think, like, if you're choosing a conference, it's the conference of choice because they're still one of the power conferences. And I think he is 100% right. Oregon fan has a lot of optimism this year, and rightfully so. Ohio State fan, excited. Michigan just won the title. Penn State fan, I think, is sitting in a, like, God, we better finally break in and be a playoff team at least. But he's so right.
The non-big schools in those conferences will be miserable because you have no Indiana,
Mississippi
State, Purdue, Mississippi State, like Northwestern, Vanderbilt, Kentucky.
Yes.
You have no chance.
You're not winning your conference.
None.
You have no shot in hell. Whereas the Big 12, every year, depending on.
Yeah, it could be our year.
TCU is the best recruiter in that conference, and they're like 18.
Yes.
So, like, recruiting for everybody is we get a lot of three stars, and who's the best at developing them? They might win the conference.
And that's who Oregon State, they have hung their hat on being that. We found a bunch of three stars, and we developed them into NFL players.
Exactly.
That's exactly who you've been for 20 years. And so
Tiriano last night, touchdown Texas.
Yes, Tutty, first Tutty of the preseason.
Pride of Salem.
And it was funny because all these rumors have been flowing. Then I wake up this morning, and I'm reading this Connolly piece, and I'm like, God, this is the perfect conference for Oregon State. And Washington State to be in.
Well, even with Oregon State, Washington not being in it, it is going to be a very fun conference. I have no idea what the hell is going to happen in that conference.
Clue. Utah's the favorite going in. Kansas State wouldn't surprise me. Oklahoma State wouldn't surprise me. TCU
Arizona
wouldn't surprise me. Texas Tech wouldn't surprise me. Yep. West Virginia's supposed to be decent
this
year.
Iowa State might be sneaky.
Iowa State's back end top 25 team. I got no clue, dude. Your guess is as good as mine.
Oh, yeah, it's my segment.
Still your segment.
It's a good segment you did there.
I like that segment. It was a good segment.
Read the article, too, and I'm kind of glad you did it. All right, let's go to Chicago. We'll get to the Sprague & Line an hour from now. So get Sprague & Line sponsors in. The Vancouver Ford text line is 503-864-6326. Caleb Williams and Chicago Bears hype at an all-time high. As our next guest said, 1-0, bitch. The Bears beat the Texans last night in a weather-called-off football game. We'll talk about that. Are the White Sox the most depressing pro sports team out there? And our guest also dabbles in culinary stuff. I have the Bear questions. Shane Reardon, a do-it-all guy from 670 The Score, joins us. Daily Ticker next on The Fan.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit with the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing. Be ready for your next afternoon vacation with Beak Breaker Tropical. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker time, brought to you on The Fan by Pelican Brewing. Visit pelicanbrewing.com for more details on locations, events, award-winning beers. Independently brewed since 1996, Pelican Brewing, born at the beach. Excited for our next guest. Their NFL team last night was in the spotlight playing in the Hall of Fame game, and we need to sneak in some baseball questions. Joining us now is longtime friend of the program.
Longtime.
Shane Reardon, at Shane_Reardon on Twitter of 670 The Score in Chicago. Shane, good morning. It is always great to catch up with you, and I apologize to start on a depressing note, but I am curious to ask, is there a more depressing franchise in pro sports right now than your Chicago White Sox?
Yeah, probably the Bulls. Same owner.
Touche. Now, that's interesting. So Bulls fans are more depressed than White Sox fans in Chicago, you think?
No, I mean, no. And there are definitely more White Sox fans in Chicago than there are Bulls fans anyway. I would not call Bulls fans more depressed than White Sox fans. The White Sox fans have become depressed at a level that Chicago sports fandom has never seen. The White Sox have depressed me out of fandom in general.
Yeah.
Like, I have moved over to complete indifference. I'm not even apathetic. I am indifferent on a team that I grew up loving more than life itself.
Well, okay, let me ask you this then, Chef.
It's sad to get to that point.
If your team gets sold, we have a group in Portland, and we're always holding out hope we can be more than one pro sports team in the core four, and we bought them and relocate them, would it devastate you and reignite the passion, or are you literally at the point where you go, that's sad, let's move on?
Take the dog out back and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely not like a fair-weather fan. I've been a White Sox fan all 32 of my years, but like, if they were to move, I wouldn't go with them. Like, I wouldn't become a Portland White Sox fan Nashville White Sox fan, has been the other rumored destination, or like 20 years ago, a St. Pete White Sox fan. That being said, Major League Baseball will never let Market 3 lose a second team.
Mm.
They're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
No, they will be in Chicago torturing us forever, and and hopefully that they get something right. Like, Drew Thorpe looks good. I'm not going to get too into the weeds about White Sox pitchers and go with your Portland audience. But like,
let's go through the farm system.
5-6 years, maybe there's something to be proud of again, but right now there sure as hell not.
Well, it's, you know, we're going through that a little bit in Portland as well. We just, when you have such a bad owner that doesn't inspire any sort of hope or confidence, that even if you're like going through a rebuild, I think most franchises and fan bases can get it of like, all right, we got to reset. Let's go young. Like, it's going to take us some time to get there, but you also have to have the trust in the people in charge. And it clearly doesn't sound like that exists in Chicago. What about with the Bears? Like, the Bear, we were talking about this earlier. It's funny how the Bears are a blue blood of the NFL without ever having a 4,000-yard passer. They haven't won a Super Bowl since 1985, but they're definitely in that category. Is the optimism that, like, this is it? They have finally figured it out. We finally have the collection. The Bears are ready.
Yes, yeah. 100%. I would say the kid hasn't thrown a ball at the professional level yet, but the hype around Caleb, the hype around the defense, I mean, you guys, Jalen Johnson, you could argue he's the best corner in the NFL. He's definitely top two, definitely top three. The hype around what Ryan Poles was able to do to absolutely fleece Carolina for that, for DJ Moore, and he just got the biggest extension for any Bears player ever yesterday, 2 days ago, whatever it was. The hype is as real as anything has ever been, definitely in my lifetime with the Bears.
Well, there's an interesting article that came out. Basically, Eberflus has become a zaddy now, and that's somehow turning around reputation. You've got Caleb, who's never thrown a pass, who we saw what he did at USC. You got Roma Dunze somehow just fell to you guys in the draft. What's like a realistic viewpoint expectation? Because I listen to you guys' show once in a while, and you guys do a great job. What is the realistic viewpoint of the Bears? Because I'm hearing a lot of pundits say, I think it's going to be a 9-win team, and I know
this year's Texans. You're getting a lot of that.
A little bit of that, but like 9 wins is thrown out, and I'm like seeing also some like that's kind of disappointing. But like, what is realistic for you guys over there?
Yeah, nine is realistic. 10 is, I won't say probable, but like just under probable. But then, if you really look at the depth chart, you look at number 1 through number 53.
Yeah,
if everything goes right. And I know nothing ever always goes right in any franchise and anything anywhere. But if everything goes right, this is realistically a 12 to 13 win football team. Like, they have the star power, the skill players to be a 12 or 13 win football team.
That's a hot take, and I love it. My God, 13 wins?
I don't think it's that hot, dude. You've got, like,
you got a rookie Roma quarterback.
Will likely turn into, you're going to consider Roma Dunze to be a number one wide receiver by the end of the year, and you already have two others in Keenan Allen and DJ Moore if Keenan Allen stays healthy.
Okay.
Like I said, if everything goes right, you have the best cornerback in the NFL. You will have a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. DeAndre Swift's a stud. Like, and three top wide receivers, it's insane what they put together.
Let me ask you this, because the only thing that I, from afar, watched, and I just thought, I don't know how I would feel if I was a fan there. Like, Caleb was such an obvious pick, number one overall pick. Like, let's go. That turned out to be a great trade with Carolina. You know, Sprague can joke about the zaddy at head coach, but there is an aspect of, like, wasn't it the time for a reset to get an offensive guy in there? Was keeping Eberflus the right move?
Yeah, I think so. I like, the host of my show, Danny Parkins, is dead set on offense, offense, offense for any head coach. And like, the problem is, if you have a good offensive coordinator, you're not going to have him for long, because he'll probably leave for a head coaching job.
Right,
you know, if
right.
the Bears are a 12, 13 win team, then Shane Waldron's not around for a long time. That being said, I value a manager of people more than I value someone who needs to be an offensive mind at the top. If you trust your head coach and he's not an offensive mind, then just trust him to employ the right offensive mind.
Mm.
And I think Shane Waldron is that. I would have preferred Zach Robinson, who stayed with the Rams and ended up taking their offensive coordinator job, I believe. But it was between Waldron and Zach Robinson. I trust Shane Waldron, but I trust Matt Eberflus more than anything, just to employ the right people and to trust his people.
Now, you are one. We've known you for a little bit here. We text once in a while. I feel comfortable enough with you to say you are one that has documented your glow up of what you used to look like and what you currently look like.
The glow up's been amazing.
Let's rate the zaddiness of one Matt Eberflus, because that was, a cheesy car salesman that I wanted them to fire, because I also subscribe to the, if I'm getting a rookie quarterback, I want my head coach to also be an offensive guru. But then I saw that beard. I saw the new haircut. I'm seeing him talk now, and I'm
hello.
Like, this guy got real good. I am a billionaire divorced energy here. How would we rate the Zaddy glow up for Matt Eberflus?
I mean, did you see that suit last night?
It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
For a 50-something-year-old man, he looks incredible. He leaned into the gray. He stopped with the, like, the touching up on the black of the hair.
Oh, yeah.
Leaned into it. Got a great haircut. He goes to a guy by the name of Lawrence Funk in the South Loop downtown here. All the athletes go to him. The guy's great, but it's like a $90 haircut. Screw that. And he just let his wife, in his words, tell him how to dress and how to do his hair and beard. The guy is a different person. And I think, like, I believe look good, feel good, play good.
Yeah.
If you've got a coach up there with swagger, your players buy into that. They're like, hell yeah, I'm going to play for this dude. Absolutely.
I would be remiss if we get you on here. And it's nice to talk Bears, talk sports with you. I loved your White Sox take of I just don't even care. I'm a huge fan of The Bear. It's probably my favorite television show. It relates to me in a lot of ways. I'm not a chef by any stretch. I'm not even a very good cook. You are somebody that dabbles quite a bit in the culinary scene of Chicago. Yeah. The show is set in Chicago. I'm curious your thoughts on the show, because I haven't talked to you about it. Do you like Carmi? Yeah. Do we like the direction of the show and what it's kind of meant for the city? You guys are already a good food city. Like, what it's kind of meant to have that show represent Chicago in a lot of ways in the culinary world.
Yeah, are you caught up on season three? Have you watched all season three?
I'm halfway through. I haven't finished it yet.
I'm almost through the second viewing of season three. Like, I'm a sicko. I've rewatched the entire show twice.
Okay, see, now that surprises me, because this is where my take is going. Seasons one and two, wonderful, phenomenal. Any chef in the industry, either here or anywhere else, will tell you they've done an incredible job being as accurate as possible when it comes to the food life and working that life. That being said, season three sucks.
Hmm.
It's an entire season of Carmi just figuring out that he's just as mean as Joel McHale's character, like the first chef that trained him.
Hmm.
Like, it's just him going through his chef life and like, damn, I didn't want to be like that guy, but I'm that guy. That's the season. It's just him finding out he's mean. I absolutely hate season three.
Heard. That being said, it sounds like they actually already filmed season four. The actor said they filmed 18 episodes. So they have no idea what's going to happen here. I think what they did in season three, I don't like that they're making Carmi just continue to be the D that he hates so much. But I did like that they're adding context to characters that are in our lives. Like the T episode where you see how she got to the beef was like, that's incredible storytelling to me. So like, I hear what you're saying, but I think there's also context. Like, you're giving me more depth on some of the other characters.
For sure. I think that episode was called Napkins.
Napkins,
I loved that episode. It was the only one that was good in the season. Like, we didn't need...
You didn't like Ice Cubes?
The birth episode. We didn't need that.
Really?
We didn't need it. We didn't need it. I don't think we needed it. We Cupcake, whatever her name is. We didn't need to see that episode.
Yes, well, Chef.
Let me ask you this, Chef. Now, you are a great Instagram follow. By the way, Shane's Meat, you can go follow him on Instagram.
Yeah, he posts a lot of his meat.
I love looking at your meat. I feel like the meat's so I'm not getting enough meat.
Not a lot of meat lately.
I need more meat. Where's your meat?
Okay. You want me to be honest with you?
Yes.
You want straight up honesty?
Yeah.
So I found that cooking helps me get women because I cook well, right?
Yeah.
And now I have a very good one and I'm not as motivated to cook anymore. that's what did it. So like,
you lost your zaddy glow up.
Actually, like, let me rephrase that. I'm not motivated to cook. I'm not motivated to post it as often as
so
I
we're still cooking.
But like, I got a hot girlfriend. I don't need to try to reel in.
You know, you offer quite a bit in Chicago. You offer the idea of delivering smash burgers, which seem to be your specialty. I've often wondered if I actually put in an order for two smash burgers, how much I'd have to pay you to get your ass to go mail me one, like, same-day delivery. Because we had somebody deliver crab to us from the state of Florida, same-day delivery. What that would take?
I mean, it wouldn't take anything. It would just take, like, $70. I'd do it.
Oh, look at that.
Might have to chase your meat.
I don't know how well a burger will hold up.
I don't either.
But I think the last time I overnighted something from the FedEx in our building was like $70.
Okay. That's not a bad deal. What are we cooking this weekend?
Nothing. We've got Lollapalooza here this weekend. So I
lot of ecstasy.
Going to get a lot of ecstasy. Yeah, you see what the kids do these days? About 2 months before Lolla, they'll go to Grant Park or Millennium Park, and they dig holes, and they hide bottles of booze and put an air tag in there. And then they come back to the festival,
brilliant.
Dig up the bottle.
That is really smart.
I have thought of a lot of things in my life, and I've never thought it. That is a brilliant move.
Yes, it's really smart. Really smart.
Leaves me prideful for the next generation. You know what? There is hope out there after all. How about that cooking content? The Bears, and the White Sox.
Yeah, how about that?
He's one of our favorites, man. Shane Reardon. Go give him a follow on Twitter, @Shane_Reardon. Congratulations on the hot girlfriend. Put your meat back on Instagram because I'd like to see it. And thanks as always, buddy. Let's catch up again soon.
Guys, thanks for having me. Have a good weekend.
There you go. You too. Shane Reardon from Chicago. I love it. People are already questioning what he's smoking. 13 wins. 13 good Lord. Wins.
He said that's realistic.
That's one of those takes. I'm going to try and do this better this year where we file these kind of things. Like, file this one away.
We hold them, yes.
And then come December or January, we call Shane back up on the show and say, hey, here's what you said in August. And you're 5-9 right now. How are we feeling about the take?
I'm asking legitimately.
Or you're 10-2. How are we feeling?
Is there any team in the NFL that's going to win 13 games? 13-4?
For the rookie quarterback who's never thrown a pass before?
Like the Ravens were remarkable. Ooh, and they got to 13-4.
I got some NFL notes. We'll get to those coming up next on 1080 The Fam.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure? Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com. We'll spread the line coming up at 8:30, so get your fake sponsors in to the Vancouver Ford text line. That is 503-864-6326. You can also send them in on the YouTube chat if you would like. Do we have a hotter takeaway from last night on Davis Mills? Or Brett Rypien?
Probably Rypien, because I think we know Davis Mills is a quality backup that can fill in short bursts, and we also know he's not a franchise guy. Rypien's playing for a career here.
He is.
He's bounced around a little bit, and so it's like, is he figuring it out? And, man, what a time to figure it out in Chicago.
Not bad. He looked pretty – I mean, look, it's third stringers. It's stupid. Dumbest thing we do, but he looked good last night. Brett Rypien. Let's go.
I was curious just if any of those guys on either defense were any of them – playing, we're actually going to make the 53-man roster.
I mean, I'm sure some of them will make the roster, but playing, probably not.
So we're not going to react because it's third string, and we're going to follow it up with Brett Rypien looked good, though, didn't he?
He looked good, didn't he? He's out there ripping it. Have you seen the first clip come out of Hard Knocks? Because it starts, I believe, next week.
Yeah, next week. Yeah.
We get it. They did a little teaser clip of Caleb Williams saying in front of the school, USC.
It's the rookie introduction stuff.
Yeah. Then you have to give your signing bonus, and he says $25.5 million. And then I think they show Brett Rypien in the front row who's like,
he's like seizuring.
Like having a seizure of like $25.5 million. Freaking out right there. Yeah. It's kind of cool. Like, these are the stories that you do follow. And I actually will give credit. We talked about Joe Buck earlier, but he had a pretty funny line. And Rypien might have still been in the game. I can't remember who, but he basically was saying, I can't wait to see this next week on Hard Knocks when Liev Schreiber is doing a narration of, and he says the quarterback name and the wide receiver name, you know, and how well these guys are playing, and this is going to be your storyline for Hard Knocks in the very next play through a touchdown pass.
I think he was talking about both the receiver and Rypien.
Yeah, that's who it was.
And he was like, I can't wait to see it, and then touchdown.
This will be the feature of next week's episode. Here comes Liev Schreiber.
Look, you can't blame anybody in Chicago for hopping on and feeling how they feel. They have been deprived of any real offense in that city for what feels like most of our adult lives. I don't know if the hype will be lived up to. There was a part of me, I'm so conditioned with the Bears and no offense, that when I saw a picture of Rome in the Bear uni, my brain instantly went, oh no. Is this going to work? And I love Rome Odunze.
He's
big
a bear.
Guy.
The Bears have a strong history.
So it's going to take a little getting used to this. But, dude, if that was us, the juice in that city, having that dude, having those weapons, you just sign your receiver, Your defense is underrated, I think. Your coach is a D coordinator, basically.
It's a tough spot for a rookie quarterback to be in, though, because usually rookie quarterbacks don't have, like, you got to play well, but in terms of win-loss as a team.
Yeah.
Like, last year, what were we saying about the Texans? Nobody was saying, hey, they could win 10 games this year.
I know.
They were supposed to suck. They were going to be terrible. Like, we should have very low expectations, and now we're already going to that. They could win 9, 10, 11, 12 games. So, if they win 7 games, Caleb looks fine. Is that a disappointment?
If Caleb looks fine and they win 7, there's probably more explanation to it, and I don't think people are freaking out. If everybody's healthy, but he doesn't play well, then I think that changes their circumstance. I mean, last year, it's just a reminder, not that we don't know it.
They won 7
games last year. They made the trade with Carolina. That's why they had one pick. So I think they can exceed it. I do. I think they could make the final wild card spot. That's how talented I think they also are.
NFC's wide open, too.
Exactly. The NFC is pretty open, but they got to stay healthy. And we know he's going to. It's just what every rookie goes through, he's going to have a stinker. Maybe a couple of them where it's a multi-interception game because he takes risks in bad moments. Can everybody else around him step up, save him in those games? Or maybe he comes out and he's got a C.J. Stroud-like rookie year.
Good, man. It's exciting to have one of the biggest franchises in the NFL back on the forefront of everybody's attention span. Somebody, by the way, text police correcting us. Tyson Bagent was the one having the seizure in the front row.
Thank you.
So it was one of their other quarterbacks. Yeah. But still a funny moment. And very excited to watch Hard Knocks, which begins next week, and the Bears played their first preseason game. I got some more NFL notes to kick off the final hour of the show. We got quarterbacks getting injured. One has good news. The other one, is there a concern there? We'll Sprague the Line coming up at 8:30. It's a loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.